mentioned this morning, I hope you didn't feel cheated this morning that we only have 2 points, but I mentioned this morning that it felt cheated to come back tonight because I had 15 points tonight. And when I get through with the first one, you're going to be really worried about how long we're going to be here. But I guarantee you, unless the Lord intervenes in some way, we're going to be close to getting out at our normal time tonight. You know, I think we make a mistake when we refer to our services on Sunday morning and Sunday night as worship services. Because I've been studying the word worship, and I found that that word actually comes from a word that means, that takes a picture of the of a dog licking his master's hand. A dog expressing his affection for his master. And when we say the word worship, that's what it means. We direct our love. We direct our affection toward God. And I would submit to that most of our worship is done in private. I submit most of our worship is done when we're alone with the Lord and we let down all our guard and we just love on Him. We say it in words. We might say it in a song. We say it in our prayers. We say it with our tears. We just say it in our minds because we can't put it into words about how much we love God. The choir's going to say next week, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." And so I think we made a mistake because even though we call them worship, I believe that some people do come to Sunday morning and Sunday night and they worship God, but I can't make you worship when you come here. And so I think we'd be better suited to call our Sunday morning meetings and our Sunday evening meetings preaching meetings. Because that's what they are. We come for the preaching. We've never been a church that has replaced preaching with something else. Now, you know, on the holidays we have cantatas. And we do on the fifth Sunday night of every, when we have 5 Sundays in a month, the fifth Sunday night, we turn the service over to singing. But every time we get together, other than those 4 Sunday nights a month, we have preaching, and I believe on those Sunday nights, through the songs that we have preaching. And so our church, through its history, it's always been that way. We've never canceled a service because of the weather. There's been some times when there's only been 2 or 3 of us here. Because the weather is bad. But we've never canceled a service on Sunday night. We've never canceled a service on Sunday morning. We've never canceled a service on Wednesday night because we believe that preaching is important. We believe that the church should be built on preaching. And preaching has 2 purposes. We read one a minute ago in our scripture reading tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the purposes of preaching is to bring sinners face to face with their sin and introduce them to the Savior. We read it, "Please God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe." And so we preach the gospel. And again, Sunday morning, Sunday night, one way or another, we try to get the gospel into every message so that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they can be confronted with His love and their need for Him. What a shame it would be to have a service on Sunday morning or a service on Sunday night and somebody come in that doesn't know Jesus Christ and leave this place without knowing how they can be saved. What a shame it would be. I was talking to my mother-in-law last night. She was telling me that at their church they decided not to have church on Sunday night anymore. I mean, they don't even get together on Sunday night. Now, they've already discontinued Sunday school, and so the only time they meet is on Sunday morning. And she's 86 years old. She said, I don't agree with it. I'd like to go somewhere else, but I'm too old to go anywhere else. She said, I think I'm just going to stay home and listen to TV preachers. I said, no, you need to go. You need to go to church, even if you don't, just on Sunday morning. You need the fellowship. And so preaching, one of the purposes is to save the sinner. Another of the purpose of preaching is to strengthen the saint. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Her church, they've forsaken the assembling of themselves together on Sunday night, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I need to tell you tonight, the day of the Lord is approaching.
Right.
It's getting closer. He's coming back. He's coming back soon. It's getting closer and closer. And so we need to come together. We need the preaching to exhort us to serve God, to stand up for Him, to stay true to Him. So both of these purposes, to save the sinner and to strengthen the saint, are important. In fact, I don't think there's anything more important when it comes to the life of a church than those two things, than to preach the gospel to the sinner and to strengthen the saint. And so if preaching is important, how do I get the most out of it? I mean, what do I need to do so that when I come to a preaching meeting, that God can work in my life and I can get exactly what God wants me to have? Here's what I believe. I believe that every time we come to this place, as an individual, God prepares something for us. Something for each one of us as an individual. Every single one of us it needs something different. Every single one of us needs a unique thing from God. And God, in His wisdom and in His power, can give us exactly, every single one of us, what we need from the same sermon. I mean, Rebecca may hear one point. Brother Ferris may hear another point. David may hear another point. Terry, I don't know if you heard anything, Brother Ray will hear something else. And that's the way God works. I mean, we all hear the same sermon, but God will give each one of us what we need. And if he does that, then it's our responsibility to do what we need to do to get the most out of it. Now, again, I mentioned this morning, I try to preach this sermon every 5 or 6 years. I preach to myself because I need it. I preach to you because I think you need it. And so here we go. You can keep track of how much longer we got to go by what point I'm on. And I'm going to start on number one. Our preparation for preaching begins on Saturday night. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Test your Saturday night activities by this question. Will what I'm about to do get my heart and mind ready for preaching tomorrow morning? What do you got planned on Saturday night? Are you going to watch a movie? Are you going to go to a party? Are you going to do something on Saturday night? Ask the question, and what I am about to do, is that going to get my heart ready to hear preaching the next morning? Am I going to read a book? Again, am I going to watch a movie? Am I going to watch a TV program? We ought to try to do things on Saturday night that gets our heart ready for Sunday morning. Get our heart ready to hear preaching. Go to bed earlier on Saturday night than you normally would. You know what we do? Most of us, Saturday night is the latest night that we stay up. I know some of you go to bed at the same time every night. That's good. But 8 o'clock is too early for me. But anyhow, but if we're not careful, Kelly, are you raising your hand? Okay. But if we're not careful, Saturday night will be the latest night that we stay up. You know what we're saying? We're saying that what we do on Sunday, or what we do every other night of the week, or every other day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, what we do the rest of the week is more important than what we do on Sunday, because we're going to get more rest on the night before. You ever stop and think about that? What we do, what we're saying is, when Saturday night is the latest night we go to bed, we're saying what we do every other week is more important than what we do on Sunday. We need to be rested when we come to this place. We need to be mentally alert. We stay up late on Saturday. Here's what happens. We come in and we shut our eyes on the announcements. We wake up during the invitation and we've missed the whole thing. Now, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. Some of this may not apply to you. But I'm taking a shotgun tonight. If something hits you, take it. Okay? We need to get prepared on Saturday night for Sunday. From the standpoint, decide what you're going to wear and what you're going to have for breakfast before you go to bed on Saturday night. Lay your clothes out. Don't get up and fuss with the kids about what they're going to wear on Sunday. Don't get up and debate about what you're going to have for breakfast. It'll take your mind off getting ready for the service. Plan it out, lay it out Saturday night. Before you go to bed on Saturday night, read a passage of Scripture. Read Psalm 1. Read Psalm 117. Read the 23rd Psalm. Read a hymn. Pray. When you get up on Sunday morning, don't turn on the news. Don't turn on the cartoons. Or whatever else is on. I don't know what's on Sunday morning. But turn on some Christian music on Sunday morning. When I was growing up, we listened to the Renfro Valley Gathering. It came from some spot in Kentucky. It was a bunch of hillbillies singing hillbilly hymns. Amen, Brother Clyde. Now, my dad loved it. I don't think my mom liked it very much, but he would turn it on every Sunday morning. And when we were eating our cereal, us three boys listened to those hillbillies singing gospel songs. And it got our heart, and I say hillbillies affectionately because I is one, but it got us ready for preaching. The singing of the hymns got us ready for preaching. Never ask the question, I wonder if we should go this morning. Never ask the question, I wonder if we should go tonight. Listen, if you were on vacation and you were getting ready to go to Disney World or some other spot that you really enjoy, you'd never get up in your hotel room and say, I wonder if we should go today. Maybe we should just take the day off. You wouldn't ask that question. You get up and you would go. It ought to be the same thing on Sunday morning. There ought not to be any question. We ought to be excited about getting to go to church on Sunday morning. Just think, and when I'm not excited, here's what I think when I get up on Sunday morning. There are people all around the world that would give their eye teeth to do what I'm about to do.
Amen.
To go to church, hear the gospel, hear something that will strengthen the saint without having to worry about somebody arresting them, about goons coming in and beating them up, or about being persecuted in some other way. There are people all over the earth tonight that wish they could do what we are doing simply sitting in this auditorium.
Right.
And most of us, we don't think about that. We don't appreciate the privilege that we have. When you come in Sunday morning, Sunday night, smile. Share your excitement about being here, your enthusiasm about being here. Adam spoke last Sunday night, and he talked about the things that we get to do as a Christian. And that's how we ought to feel about coming to church and hearing preaching. I get to come. I get to hear the Word of God open and expounded. And I'm excited about it. I'm enthused about it. Your enthusiasm will rub off on other people. It'll rub off on your spouse. I mean, if you come with the attitude, oh, I don't really want to be here, they're going to pick up on that. Your kids are going to pick up on that. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Oh, it's Sunday night. We got to go. They're going to pick up on that. They're going to reflect the attitude that mom and dad have about coming to church. If you're excited, they'll be excited. If you're enthused, they will be enthused. And so our preparation for preaching starts on Saturday night. It continues Sunday morning. So that's point number one. Now I know you're worried. It's a quarter till. Man, if it takes that long on every point, we're going to be here until 10 o'clock. Right, don't worry. I'm going to get quicker as I go along. Number two, come prepared to listen. Come prepared to listen. If you got a cough, put a cough drop or a piece of candy in your pocket. Come, if you wear hearing aids, bring your hearing aids. Am I on now? Okay. Should I start over? But if you wear hearing aids, wear your hearing aids. If you can't hear in the back, move to the front. I mean, come prepared to listen. Don't just come. What a shame it is to go to all the effort to get here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and not listen to what God has prepared. And look, I'm not trying to hold myself up. I'm not trying to build myself up. I am just the messenger. I am just the delivery boy. I appreciate when you tell me you appreciate my sermons, but I always try to say, it's not me. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. That's who you came to hear from. And he'll speak if we come prepared to listen. Number three, listen with your eyes. If your eyes are open, there's a good chance your ears are open. If your eyes are closed, it's a good probability that your ears are closed.
Ladies, you know what it is when you sit across the breakfast table from your husband and he's got the paper up in front of him reading the paper and you're talking a mile a minute to him, telling him a bunch of things. And then you ask the question just to see if he's listening and he says, what Brother Wayne said a moment ago, huh? Huh? And you say, honey, are you listening to me? Oh, yes, yes, I'm listening. Well, what have I been talking about? And you say something and she says, oh, no, I haven't mentioned that at all. Put that paper down and look at me so that I know you're listening. I want to say the same thing. And I mean, even if you're not listening, fool me. Look at me with your eyes open. Give me the impression that you are listening. Number four, set where you can see and hear well. Now, I know people like to sit in the back of the church. I appreciate, like this morning, we had all three front rows filled up. And I want to tell you, before I come on Sunday, I bathe. I use deodorant. I mean, I try to smell good. And again, I don't care how good your eyes are or how good your ears are, if you're closer to the front, I think you'll be able to hear better. I think you'll get more out of preaching. Number five, understand that preaching is a tool that God has chosen to explain His Word. In Titus 1:3, the Bible says, but hath in due times manifested or made known His Word through preaching. And God uses preaching to help us understand the Bible. God uses preaching to help us understand what the Bible says and what the Bible commands and what the Bible suggests. And so He makes known, one of the ways He makes known His Word to us is through preaching. Number six, when you come to a preaching meeting, expect God to speak to you. You are not here to be entertained. You are not here to made to be feel good. I'm glad when you leave here and you feel better. But there are times you ought to leave here mad. There are times you ought to leave here like you feel like when you've been to the dentist. You feel like somebody stepped all over your toes. Again, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He knows you're going to be here. He prepares for you to be here. And he has something for every single person when they come, something to meet their individual needs. And so when we come, we ought to expect to hear from God. Number seven, most Christians need small adjustments, not major corrections each week. Most of us, we don't need a major correction in our life. We just need a small adjustment. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do to us if we listen. It's like driving a car. Even when you're on a straightaway, you have to turn the wheel back and forth just to keep the car going straight. The same way is true in our Christian life. The Bible says we walk a straight and narrow way. And if we're on that straight and narrow way, what we need every week is to make small adjustments. And so when we come and we hear the Word of God preached, what God will do in our life, if we'll let Him and if we'll listen, is tell us about those small adjustments that we need to make in our life. Number eight, because of that, because the Holy Spirit wants to make small adjustments in our life, we ought to walk the aisle and come to this altar every time the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Every time. You say, well, I don't need to do that. I can deal with the Holy Spirit in my seat. I know you can. But there's something special about when the Holy Spirit wants to make that minor adjustment in our life, recognizing that He is speaking to us, coming to this altar, getting on our knees, telling Him, I've heard you. And I am going to work on this thing with your help, this small adjustment that I need to make in my life. Nothing wrong. And I know some people don't want to come to the altar. Well, I'm afraid what people might think. Well, who cares what people might think? Who cares? You're here to hear from God. You're here to get right with God. You're here to get strengthened by God. We need, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, makes one of those small adjustments or attempts to, we ought to walk the aisle and kneel at the altar. If the Holy Spirit, number nine, if the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to us in a while, If the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted us about something in a while, then we ought to walk the aisle and get down on our knees and say, Holy Spirit, I'm missing something. I've been here for 8 weeks and I've gotten nothing. I've been here for 8 weeks and I haven't heard anything from you. My heart is cold. My spirit is cold. I know there's nothing wrong with you. There must be something wrong with me. Please speak to me. Please point something out in my life, an adjustment that I need to make. I want to tell you something. None of us yet are perfect. None of us yet have arrived. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I have not attained yet. I'm not to the place that God wants me to be. And preaching is what the Holy Spirit uses to get us to where God wants us to be. And again, it's not big adjustments, it's small adjustments. And again, we ought to come with the expectation that we're going to hear from the Holy Spirit of God, that he's going to do something in our life to draw us closer to Jesus Christ, to make us a better Christian, to make us a better representative for him. And if we don't hear from him week after week after week, we need to fall on our face and say, God, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? It must be me. I know it's not you. It must be me. Number 10. Goes right along with number 9 and number 8. Sometimes we ought to walk the aisle and kneel at the altar on schedule. Just on schedule. Say, I haven't been to the altar in a month. I'm going to go. Maybe the Holy Spirit didn't speak to you that night. Maybe you just need to come and say, what's the matter? What am I doing wrong? Am I not listening? I know people say, well, I don't need to walk the aisle. I walked the aisle 13 years ago when I got saved. Well, that's wonderful. And again, I don't mean to offend anybody tonight, but let me just ask you the question. When's the last time you knelt at the altar? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you poured your heart out to God? When's the last time you told the Holy Spirit, I need to hear from you? When's the last time? If it's been 3 months, if it's been 4 months, if it's been more than that, I encourage you. There's something special, there's something sweet about coming to this place and kneeling in the presence of God. And it's not a show. Who cares what other people see? It's between you and your God. Number 11. We're closing in. We're going to make it. Number 11. Try to summarize or capsulize the sermon in a phrase or two. A few words, a few points. The title. There's a lady in our church that since I preached that sermon, the ram is already in the bush. Every time that God works in her life and does something miraculous, she tells me about it and says, the ram's already in the bush. God's already got the answer before I, even though I have the problem. So, but pick out something from the sermon that you can remember. Something that, again, a verse, a phrase, a point, something that is easy for you to bring back to your mind that will remind you of the sermon. Number 12. Talk about the sermon on the way home. Don't talk about the preacher. Talk about the sermon. Don't turn on the radio to listen to the hockey game or the baseball game or the news. Talk to your spouse. Say, hey, what book was the preacher in tonight? What was one of his points? Ask your children. What point did you get out of the preacher's sermon tonight? Children, ask your mom, ask your dad. What did you get out of the sermon tonight, mom? What did you get out of the sermon tonight, dad? See if they were listening. Test them a little bit. Talk about it. Get it in your head. Number 13. Had you going for a minute, didn't I? Number 13. Tell somebody about the sermon the next day. Hey, go to work. Talk to somebody. Hey, I heard a truth last night. I heard something good last night. I heard an illustration. I heard a story. I haven't talked about stories this morning. I heard a story yesterday, and it was really good. It really touched my heart. Let me tell you about it. Number 14, mark your Bible. Brother John does this. Every time I preach, I don't know if he still does it every time, but I know he does it every time, he marks the date and the title of my sermon near the scripture. He always tells me when I preach a sermon a second time. Said, hey, you know, I said, I know, Brother John, I keep track of them too. But mark it in your Bible. So when you're reading your Bible and you come across that passage, you can say, hey, I remember the preacher preaching a sermon about that. And then number 15 expect the Holy Spirit to remind you of a truth that you heard in preaching exactly when you need it. Exactly when you need it. In Romans chapter 8, 16, the Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit." The Spirit of God reminds us of truth from His Word. In a time of trial, in a time when we're stressed, in a time of temptation, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to bring a truth back to our heart and bring a truth back to our mind that will help us make it through that time. And so again, preaching is important. It's important to bring people face to face with their need for a Savior. And I'll tell you tonight, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're under the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God. And I was talking to somebody before church. They made the statement, "I don't know how people make it through this life without God." And I don't know either. I don't know how any person can make it through life on this earth without knowing that they belong to God, that God is their God. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that, you can know it. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He wants a relationship with you. And again, he offers to every person the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though I haven't preached a salvation message tonight, the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now, telling you, hey, what that preacher's saying, true, I'm a sinner, I'm separated from God, I need a Savior. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't come to God any other way. A lot of Christians here tonight. Has the Holy Spirit spoken to you about something? Then act on it. Act on it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, again, the fact that it's practical. And I pray that we pick out one or two of these things and things that we say, hey, I don't have this in my life when it comes to preaching, and I need it because preaching is important. It's important to me. It's important to the church. It's important to other people. And so help me to be more ready to get what you've prepared for me. What a wonderful thought, what a wonderful truth that you prepare something for each of us as individuals every time we come to this place. It's like going home to see mother or grandma and them fixing a special dish just for us. We know they do it because they love us. Father, we know you do it because you love us. And so I pray again that because you've gone to that effort to prepare that special thing for us, that we would do our part to never leave this place without getting it. Never leave this place without enjoying it. Again, Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. If they need a Savior, help them just now to receive Jesus Christ. I pray for the many Christians that are here working our life. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. We'll give you the praise and the glory for everything you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.